Jesus in Christ's name. Amen. Well, we've been looking, unfolding kind of the gospel content over the course of time in our Sunday school. We talked about a little bit about God, like we can cover that in one Sunday school class. And you'll notice that different people are going to have different ways of looking at the gospel. So in some way, shape, or form, some of you have seen me use, and maybe I've handed you a napkin and a pen to follow along, as I often will, in an encapsulating way, use Romans 6:29, for the wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, to help a person understand the gospel, right? So we may get opportunities for things, for moments in time where we don't have a lot of time to meander through the gospel. But we have an opportunity to encapsulate the gospel. And so we need to have either a verse or an outline. But at the same time, one verse outline, like the wages of sin is death and the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, wonderful. But the gospel is so much more than that. You know, to unpack that would take all the pages of Scripture, and as John says, even more. And so one of the exciting things is that as we seek to display, declare, delight in the gospel, that is actually developing those relationships, as we've been talking about, trusting, developing curiosity, seeing people come to a moment of change. Something needs to change. I haven't thought about this before, but now, right? A car crash or a habitual sin that has had harmful effects, finally, a spouse leaves because, and all of a sudden there's an awakening. I got to change something. Now, changing that isn't going to bring salvation. But for us, and again, not in a manipulative manner at all, but that's an opportunity for us to help them to understand how God might be at work within those realities, how to pray for them, how to care for them. And so as we're declaring, we better be displaying. The display comes through taking muffins to your neighbor or just the kindness of whatever, right? And all of those things, they're not tricks, they're not anything, but asking the Lord to use whatever means necessary, right? So my friend Irvin that I've been having a conversation with, he goes, so this week, he says, hey, can I talk to you? Right, we're in the bakery. He said, do you have time? I said, of course I have time. And then he keeps apologizing profusely throughout the whole thing. I'm taking your private time. I said, I got more private time than you could shake a stick at, because in my office, you know. And he keeps apologizing. I said, listen, Irvin, if it's not happening here, it ain't going to happen in my pulpit. I said, this is as valuable a moment as that is. And if it isn't happening here, it's not happening there, right? Which is very true. Now, he may not understand the fullness of what I'm saying. But for me, actually, that's fueled my heart to know how to proclaim and whatnot. So we begin to talk about the Ten Commandments, right? And so he's been struggling with trying to understand some things. And in the midst of that, right, I said, Irvin, it seems like you can take the boy out of the Catholic Church, but you can't take the Catholic Church out of the boy. And he goes, that's it, right there. He goes, that's what I'm really wrestling with. Because he left at 15. And now he's in his mid-60s or 70. I don't know how old he is, but, you know, he's older. Let's just put it that way. And we're talking about life, And one of the things he said is, I could never have talked to a priest like this, right? And he goes to me, he goes, now, there's no promises that I'm going to join your church or nothing. I said, no. I said, oh, no, don't even go there. I said, this got nothing to do with anything, right? But that's his fear, right? That this is just a play, that this is just a means to, and I'm like, no, that's, you know. Now, would I love for him to take vows up here one day in true confession of his faith in the Lord Jesus? Absolutely, I'd love that. But he may do that at Abundant Life or Calvary Baptist, or I'd be as happy with that. Might take a day off to go see that, right? Because that's not the point, right? And so in this meandering through life, God brings those moments where we can talk about God, or we can talk about man, or we can talk about sin. And trusting that God is putting those things together as building blocks to shape something. And so my children and I have got into watching Lego Masters on Hulu, right? And so here's this vision that they have, and they're going to build these, put these blocks together, and all of a sudden, whoa, this is pretty cool. This is really exciting. And it's everybody's childhood dream, I guess, to be a Lego master or whatever. But that's what God's doing, isn't he? Is he's just using these little moments in time, these bricks, these wonderful truths, and we just go, oh, I didn't get the whole thing. I didn't ask him to receive Jesus as their Savior. Okay, that's fine. Right? Now, that might be important if you're on a bus and that's the last time you're going to see somebody and the Lord is leading you towards that. But in this meandering conversation, and when I use meandering in a way of not saying lazy, I'm just saying this kind of this ebb and flow of life. God is building something that we can't see. He's the master builder, right? He's the brick master. And he's picking these things and he's putting them together in the heart of a person to understand the gospel. And so it behooves us to know how to articulate the truth of the gospel in a kind of a broken manner, if you would. So what I mean by broken manner is that it's not all complete and here you go, right? It's God, or it's sin, or it's man, or it's repentance, or it's, you know, at different times. And so we help them to understand the gospel. But the means might not be, well, we can't really talk about sin because we haven't talked about God. Or you might say, in order to understand sin, we really need to understand God. Because God's going to define your understanding about sin, right? And so that's great. Let's talk about that. But we can't talk about it without a reference point. And now you're kind of connecting two things together. Does that make sense? And so as we think about this, I think one of the problems we have is that we kind of feel like we have to give them the whole ball of wax. And if they don't respond, then what do? We've given them the gospel and they didn't respond. And no, we need to give them the gospel in pieces and allow the Holy Spirit to put it together, if that makes sense. So when we think about God, like we did last time, we talked about his holiness, his righteousness, his justice, but also that God is our reward, right? And so I absolutely 100% believe in hell. I believe that there's eternal punishment. I believe that it's going to be unbearable. But I don't think that evangelism is simply scaring the hell out of people. Because there are people who will accept Jesus for that reason only and never really long for God, right? And there might be a false conversion because they just don't want to go to hell, but they don't really want God. And so we have to help us understand that God is also our reward and our understanding of our reward. So as I lay out this outline, this is how we're going to kind of go. And I didn't put verses down there, partially because I want you to. Right? I want you to think through in your devotions or in other places like that, what are some of the verses that you might use, or not that you're going to turn there always, but that are going to inform, because it's not just Mike's view of God. It's the biblical view of God. It's coming from here, and Mike is bringing that forth, right? And so as we think about God, and let's just say we think about holiness and righteousness and justice and all of that, where might you turn to for God's holiness? In your mind's eye, if you had the opportunity, where might you go to talk about the holiness of God? What? John. This long book. We're in John. What? Yes, okay. Sure. Okay, yeah. And I'm not making fun of that. I'm just saying where might, yeah. Okay, Moses in the burning bush. You could go to that. Hey, we're studying that in church. And we saw the holiness of God there. Yes, Charles. Isaiah 6, which is the commissioning. Yeah, right. And so in actuality, Isaiah 6 is a wonderful passage for the whole gospel almost, right? Because it's holiness, woe is me, I'm a man of sinful lips, and then something has to touch my lips and your sin is taken away from. Where's that coming from? An altar. Altar, sacrifice, Christ. There's wonderful ways to get to some of those things. Yes, where else might you go to talk about the holiness of God? Sure, Revelation. Yeah. Revelation 4, 5, a number of passages there, right? And so as we think about these things, one of the things that we want to do is they might say, show me, right? Which is a good thing. But you might want to say, where might I go to show them about justice or righteousness or whatever? Right. So think about these things as you go through your quiet time. Begin to ask the Lord to show you those places. Memorize them. Put them into your heart and mind that begin to be maybe your favorite way. So, for instance, different ways of doing a gospel outline is like the Romans Road. The Romans Road is you would go through different verses in Romans to help understand the fullness of the gospel. When we think about man, right, we want to think in two ways about man. But how does the world think about man, right? So before we go to the gospel perspective or the biblical perspective, how does the world think about man when we talk about man? Man's mostly good, okay? Okay, we have a lot of pride, right? Born good or bad? Good. Yes, we control our own destiny. Yes. So, product of our environment, right? My friend Irvin thinks that we're animals. Is that true? No. That, well, he just says animals, so I'm not sure if that means evolution or he talks about instinct a lot, his instinct, that like an animalistic instinct he has. And so how might you help me understand how I could differentiate between animal and man? What? Genesis, and what might I say or go to? Right. Right. Okay. Yes. Okay. So dominion over. Yeah. Now, I'm not necessarily going to correct them all the time. Right. But somewhere along the line, I want them to understand both the fact that man is created in the image of God. There's glory, intended glory, because we're called to be in relationship with God. But ruin as well. So when we think about countering our culture, we need to be helpfully thinking about how do we help them to understand man in relationship with God. That man is called to be, is created to be in relationship with God, Genesis 2:1, 2, and 3, and we see how sin breaks that as well, right? So there's a glory. Each one of us are glorious ruins. Meaning, when you look at a ruin of a castle, you think about the fact when it was glorious, right? That was its intent. It was to be stately. It was to be powerful. It was to be mighty. It was to be wonderful when we look at a ruin, right? But it's a ruin now. It's not what it's intended to be. And so when we think about ruin, right, we recognize that man's intent is, we're created in the image of God. We're created to be in relationship with God. And yet we're ruins because of sin. We're broken. We're sinful. We're less than what God intended for us to be. Right? And so we can look at both of those things. So we need to affirm the image of God in ourselves. We're not animals. Just simple animals. We have minds. We have ability to think. We have ability to be in relationship with God. But we're also ruins, sinners. So where might we go to show some of that? Different verses. Genesis 1, 2, and 3, obviously, but where else? Most of Romans 2, okay, which talks about the sinfulness of man, right? Romans 2, Romans 3, the sinfulness of man is talked about in very, you want to understand sin, go to Romans 2 and 3. Where else might we go? If we're not born pure, where we might go to describe that or help them to understand? Okay, any of the prophets, right? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 2:23, 3:20. Now, references are not my specialty, right? But yeah, I need those cards. Yeah. Romans 5:12, which says,
therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because of all sin.
Okay, good. Yes. Wonderful encapsulation. Psalm 51, in sin did my mother conceive me. Right? I was born sinful. Now, that doesn't mean that mom was sinning when she conceived me, right, as St. Augustine thought, which was horribly a wrong understanding of that passage, but I am born sinful. I'm not born a clean slate or perfect or whatever, but I'm born sinful. And so as we think and help people to understand, there's this tension that we need to help them to recognize, that we're intended to be in relationship with God, and yet something is very, very wrong. Right? And so there's glory and ruin all at the same time. And as we help people understand that, it actually means, boy, that's why this is hard, because I'm intended for something far more glorious. But I'm ruined. And how did I get ruined? And how does that work? And that leads us right into that whole understanding of sin. Right? But as we think about declaring, displaying, and delighting in the glory of God, how might we help them to understand the image of God? And I am going to leave you for just a second. Please talk with each other, but I have got to go to the bathroom. This is horrible, but I've been drinking coffee since. Excuse me. Talk amongst yourselves. Terry Luther, when I had a discussion, he
are basically depraved. I'm a loudmouth anyway. And then, yeah, and not choosing to recognize him, he shows forth his justice by rejecting them, right? Very harsh, but you would have to be tender if you walked through that passage, realizing that that's going to be really hard for somebody to understand and to take in. We're just talking about the justice piece. Okay, where else? That's just one. Where else would you go? Absolutely. In fact, in when he has sinned and Nathan the prophet comes to him, right? Man, there's a picture of justice. You deserve to die. He knew he deserved to die, yet Nathan said, God will not take your life. Yeah, but he took his son's life. So you see a really vivid act of justice there. What about grace? Yeah, that's always a great one, because it's even hard for us as, no matter how long you're a believer, just to recognize that God extended grace to you as a sinner is just, it's always overwhelming. Yeah.
I don't know the book or the verse is, but for grace, when Jesus stopped this time of the adulterers.
Yeah. Right? How about Ephesians 2 for grace? Great passage there. It starts talking about sin right away, but then talks about God extending his grace to us. What's that? Yeah. Yeah. Best two words in the passage probably, right? You want to come up and finish your response section? Okay. All right. Okay, so the response, right? You're talking about those who we're talking to in the response section there. Acknowledging you are a sinner and lost. I think it was Margie that brought this up. You know, they got to know they're a sinner before you can get them saved, right? That's a gentle, that can often be the hardest part of talking with somebody, having them recognize sin, because most people who are not believers don't think of most of what they do as sin. In fact, I know a pastor who said that he no longer sinned. He had gotten through that part and he was no longer a sinner. And so if a pastor or somebody who's supposed to be steeped in the gospel would say something so audacious, those who do not know Christ would never recognize their sin. And it's very tough to bring that forward and to show that we're fallen, right? So we have to be very, very gentle when we do that. And then the renouncing and repenting part, right? So there has to be an understanding. There has to be hopefully a Holy Spirit-led recognition, right? As this process goes, we're always bathing everything in prayer and praying for the Spirit to do his work. You know, I was thinking about it as you were testifying this morning. You know, consider not what you'll say in that hour, right? And it's talking about having to come before kings and princesses and give, you know, an account of what we know. And God says, I'll be there. I'll be there in the power of the Spirit. I will give you the words to say. And we think about that and we just fumble. And we think, man, I walked away from there and that was terrible. But I guarantee you, God will use whatever you said because it's his Spirit that's doing the application. And that person will hear what they're supposed to hear. It's just a wonderful thing that we can go into those with that kind of confidence and then walk away with the equal confidence knowing that the Spirit is doing his work. And hopefully believe in the Lord Jesus. I don't know about you guys, but if you've ever had that that scenario, we don't probably get it often in our lives, but to walk with somebody into salvation, to believe in the Lord Jesus is just an incredible thing. And it happens typically in a conversation. It can happen right before your eyes. And you know, I came from that theology that said you had to do a sinner's prayer, right? And there, you know, and Romans 10:9 gives us that example on what it means to believe. And it doesn't mean a sinner's prayer necessarily, right? It means that you know, and they can tell, they now believe. There's a conviction in their heart, and there's a change of countenance. And when you watch something like that, it is absolutely miraculous. I mean, it's just something to be absolutely treasured. And then that confession that comes and that that unloading, as it were, where people say, I just felt so free, like the world had been taken off my shoulder. Just a wonderful process that is loaded with the gospel content, but plays itself out in this wonderful storyline that takes time as we put the Lego pieces in place. But every time we put that piece in place, and then the thing is done, and you stand there and just marvel in the glory of God. Yeah.
Well done. Good. We're going to go over these in fullness as the weeks go by. And so as you think about this, in your devotions, in as God encounters you, you know, look for these passages. You know, how would I bring forth, what would I bring forth from this passage in my devotions, right? How might I use that as a bridge to the gospel? Think about those kinds of things. And so we're going to go through this in more depth. Thank you, Lou, for taking over and doing that. But as you have this now, write down verses, write down passages, write down places where God encountered you with these truths to help think through those things. And as we'll talk in weeks to come, we'll unpack all of these things in more depth. And so I would like for you to be prepared. One of the things that I didn't do is I didn't write down verses, partially because I think that sometimes we can give those and it's like, okay, Pastor gave me these must be good. Instead of discovering those, instead of finding those for ourselves, thinking about those things. And then on the flip side of that is also, what do those means, secular, life means, when I say secular, life means, that God may bring forth, birth a discussion, right? And so, let me just give you an example. I was in Colorado working with InterVarsity while I was in seminary, did a month-long thing in Colorado, and it was for student leaders. And so these were kind of the sharp of the sharp, right? Student leaders who were getting ready to help their campuses reach people with the gospel. And we're up in the they were foothills. They weren't really the mountains, but they were big enough for, to be. And so one of our things was to do work for the camp, and we were stripping logs. And so we were stripping logs, and I said, "Hey, here's the deal. Somebody throw out a movie that we've all seen, a pretty popular movie, and send it to somebody and say, explain the gospel through that movie." Right? Bring forth the gospel through that movie. And we spent an afternoon, and it was fun, and it was amazing, and it was like Forrest Gump. Bring the gospel out. So we're thinking about Forrest Gump, and we're thinking about the gospel. We're thinking about how, now, was that the intent of the director in the movie? No. But how might I enter into conversations that in this declare the image of God, the importance of, the value of, you know, da-da-da-da-da, right? And sometimes it was fun. Sometimes it was silly, meaning there weren't too many great connections. But sometimes it was just a connection to God, or it was a connection to dignity or humanity or God's goodness or glory or something like that. And we were able to enter into a gospel conversation. And it was a great exercise because we were coming in and saying, the entrance to this gospel might come as we walk out of the movie theater. and say, boy, that director's portrayal of God was very interesting, didn't you think? What do you mean? You know, and it's very interesting if you watch movies. You know, for instance, if you watch the movie The Matrix, there's a line in The Matrix where there's a lady, and the lady's name is Trinity, and there's a lot of Christian references in the movie The Matrix that you could enter into, the character says, and who are you? And she said, Trinity. And he goes, I thought you'd look very different. Right? Why? Because it's Trinity. You know, this is picture of God or whatever, right? But it was just a line. It was just a little line in a movie, and it was just kind of fascinating and interesting. But so sometimes subtly God uses movies, directors, TV, all that kind of stuff to allow us to enter into great conversations that were maybe not intended by the director but can lead us into great conversations as well. So let me pray for us. Father, thank you for this morning. Bless us as we go into worship, as we worship you this morning in spirit and in truth. Father, though we may be small in number, help us to be joyful of heart, exalting the sovereign God, knowing and enjoying fellowship with one another, though it may be at a little bit of a distance. Warm our hearts and connect them in ways through this challenging time that we may not have expected. Bless those who are not able to come or who chose not to come for a fear or because they were sick or something else. Father, grant them grace and bless them. Encourage their hearts even this morning and help them to know that we are with them in spirit and in heart as they are with us. And we rejoice in that in Christ's name. Amen.